Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, baby!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Mark Richt would like Drew Butler to hit it a mile in the air. And he did. What a kick.
And the SEC's career leader in touchdown passes and completions, Aaron Murray.
Touchdown in stride as he crosses the goal line. Put it right on his hip. What a throw.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Get to the house, sideline, pylon. Touchdown, and the Dogs are on the board first.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined, as always, by my co-host, Aaron Murray. It is week three of the 2018 college football season, and once again, we have an awesome slate of college football games that Aaron and I will break down for you to get you ready for this weekend. We are on social media at Punt and Pass. Aaron Murray is at Aaron Murray 11, and I am at Drew Butler 13. Aaron, what's going on, man? Hurricane Florence about to hit the East Coast. Some games already canceled. Some games are moving around. You and I are probably watching to see what happens with this Georgia game supposed to be played Saturday evening, but you're heading out west, I think, to the Midwest for a game this weekend.
Yeah, I got Arkansas State at Tulsa. My biggest worry right now is getting back on Sunday. That's so right. Who knows where this hurricane ends up going, if it goes a little bit farther south. So I'm thinking I may have to bring either some extra cash to hit the casinos up or the clubs and maybe get a little round in Sunday if my flight does get canceled. But right now, it looks like it's going to be just mostly the North Carolina and then start to creep to Georgia late Sunday. So it's looking like the Dogs are going to be being able to play Saturday night, which is a good thing. But the rest of these games on the East Coast, South Carolina canceled, the North Carolina game canceled, NC State, UCF. So there's been a lot of cancellations. Luckily, a lot of them are non-conference games, which is a good thing. But still, yeah, and every opportunity is a chance to get better early in the season.
And they'll just cancel those games, right? Not postpone, not reschedule. Those are off the schedule for this season, right?
Oh, they may try to reschedule later on if they can. If, say, you can match up bye weeks or maybe after the season to get that 12th game in. But if it doesn't really mean anything to your team, whether it's like I said, non-conference. Why? What's the use of doing it? It doesn't really mean anything. So let's move on and get ready for your next conference game. Like I said, it stinks. Say South Carolina, and we've talked about this previously. After a big loss, the best thing to do is get back at it.
For
get
sure.
Back to practice. Go out there and play another game. Get the game plan going. Now you have to think about Georgia coming into your home and beating you down for 2 weeks before your next game. So that's a tough part now.
Did you ever have to deal with that in college? Any weather reschedule?
No.
I know a couple years ago Georgia and South Carolina played on a Sunday.
No, I don't think the only issue we ever had was, I think, our freshman year. Arizona State was coming to Georgia and it was monsooning.
That's right.
The entire first half. That was the biggest
Blair Walsh,
the longest delay
field goal
we had. I mean, we had a little bit of delay, but I think probably about an hour kickoff. But other than that, it was pretty clean. Got lucky. Like we said, the one issue for me too, which stinks, is the following week, I actually am covering NC State at Marshall, and both of their games this weekend are canceled. NC State versus West Virginia, which is two very good quarterbacks.
Yeah,
so it was interesting
to
watch that game, and then Marshall's game was canceled as well. So both those teams are going to have 2 weeks of rest before I head up and actually go into Marshall for the first time to cover them next weekend.
Huntington, West Virginia. Aaron, you will be able to certainly make yourself felt there. That's a different spot for sure, but that will be interesting. I remember one time in the NFL, we were playing the New York Giants in New York, and Hurricane Sandy had just hit. So we didn't even get to travel. We woke up on Sunday morning, Aaron, and we got on the flight, landed, went straight to the stadium, started doing warming up, and then we went out there, beat the Giants, got back on the plane. So we did a in-and-out away trip in the NFL, which is kind of crazy to think about. That's wild.
Well, it's nice when you can just charter a little jet in and out and good to go.
That is definitely true. All right, but the good games this weekend are not going to be affected by the hurricane, and if you are in the Carolinas or in the path of Hurricane Florence, please be safe for sure. But top games this week, most notably in the SEC, number 12, LSU, heading to number 7, Auburn, a top 15 matchup. And Aaron, you and I have talked about this game all week. You know it's going to be really good. Bottom line here, LSU coming off that huge win in week one against top 10 ranked Miami. A lot of turnovers. They capitalized on those turnovers. They have creeped up all the way to number 12. Is LSU legit? Because I still have questions. You may still have questions, but the media seems to be crowning them as being able to possibly compete with Alabama.
Whoa, I haven't heard that one yet. Is that in your special little vortex that you're hearing they're going to be able to
I might be, yeah, I might be creating that vortex just to pump them up as much as possible because I'm saying it's not going to happen.
You're creating this new vortex right now. They're not Alabama. I think everyone can agree. There's only a handful of teams like Alabama, first off, but I'm not even close to being sold on this LSU team. Offensively, Joe Burrow, I think this is going to be the first game that he's going to be really exposed. And it's not like he's been anything spectacular. He's 21 for 44 for the season. So you're talking about a quarterback who's less than 50% completion percentage. Made some plays versus Miami, made some plays last week, but this is a different beast. You and I both know playing in Jordan-Hare.
For sure.
It's challenging. It's loud. It's going to be super excited because this is a big rivalry game to the top teams. In the country and in the SEC, and you have a very good Auburn team. So those fans are going to be there early and getting ready to use that home field advantage to get their team ready to go. I'm not sold. I don't think if you want to look at Auburn's defensive line, linebacker, secondary, I don't think LSU is going to be able to move the ball up and down the field consistently this game. I think they could be shut down to less than 10 points, honestly.
Wow. Just okay. So, I like that.
I think this could be an extremely dominant performance by Auburn's defense. And then flip the script, them on offense, Jared Sittum, those guys, I thought they looked pretty good versus Washington. And Washington's one of the best defenses in the country.
Yep.
And that's the first game of the season. You have to think offenses tend to get better and better each and every week. Defenses have the advantage of they should be ready to go week one and definitely by week two. Auburn week three into the season right now, the way they perform these first 2 weeks, they're going to be feeling like they can go out there and dominate. And I think they can. I think they can do 20-plus points. I don't know what the spread on this game is.
But I was just about to tell you.
I think they can win by double digits.
All right. Well, Auburn is a 10-point favorite right now. The over-under is 44.5. And like we said, this game is at Jordan-Hare Stadium. But one thing I do want to tell you, Aaron, is that Coach O, Ed Orgeron, is 7-2 against the spread in his last 9 games. So if you've been betting against LSU, you have not been winning. But I think Auburn's defense is going to shut down Joe Burrow. You cannot expect Auburn to turn the ball over like Miami did in week one. And I don't think Miami's turnovers were as much of a product of LSU's defense forcing them as it was Miami self-inflicting their own wounds and honestly just killing any shot they had of beating LSU as soon as the ball was kicked off. Aaron, I'm with you. LSU is not crowned quite yet. And I know that people overreact. We're only through 2 weeks of the college football season, but I'm not sold. I'm not sold from a talent perspective. I'm not sold from a quarterback perspective. And there's still so many questions at the running back spot for LSU. On the flip side, you look at Auburn. That defense is extremely stout. That front seven is for real. A lot of NFL guys are going to be headed to the next level from that defense. LSU has not played anybody of this caliber yet this season. I know they're feeling themselves. And if it was at LSU, maybe I would have a little bit of a different feel. But I do not think LSU will be able to compete. Now, will I say that they score less than 10 points? I don't know. But I take Auburn to certainly cover in this game. They're going to score a lot, and LSU cannot hang with them for 60 minutes. Jarrett Stidham will continue to prove that he has gotten a lot better in his second year in the SEC. And Coach O's in for a long day. There's no doubt about it. I would be shocked if this one goes down to the wire.
Yeah, it'll be a fun game, though. I mean, this is the big SEC game of the week. Obviously, CBS is there. But you know me, I'm a big fan of Stidham. I think Stidham's going to go out there and show that he's really taking that next step, his maturity within this offense, going against – and listen, we both can agree on this one. LSU is a very good defense. I mean, Greedy Williams on the outside, cornerback for LSU, one of the best in the country. But Auburn's offense and I know they're not elite at the receiving position, but they have a lot of guys with a lot of starting experience and a lot of time with Stidham getting their routes down, feeling comfortable. I think they're going to show that come Saturday.
Are you taking the under here? It's 44.5. I'm guessing you're taking Auburn as well.
I'm taking Auburn, but it's going to be a low-scoring game. I mean, the Auburn, like I said, they've shown the ability to move the ball effectively against a very good defense week one. So I think they should be able to move the ball versus LSU. And plus, it's going to be a game of field position. And if LSU can't get first downs, if Auburn can pin them back and then get a short field to work with, that's just going to make it easier for this offense to be able to put points on the board at the end of the day.
No doubt. And just to keep everybody up to date, I went 4-1 last week in my picks. Aaron, you went 2-3. So I have taken over the season 2 punt and pass picks lead, but there's a lot of football left to be played. So we're both on Auburn minus 10, and we're both on the under 44.5. That'll be a great game to watch. 3:30 SEC on CBS. Another top 15 matchup, Aaron. One that I think will be a very, very good game. Saturday night, number 4 Ohio State is going to Dallas to take on number 15 TCU. Again, this one's at 8 p.m. on ABC. It's at Jerry World, so it's kind of a weird mid-season neutral site game. Ohio State is a double-digit favorite. They're favored by 13 points. The over-under here is a bit higher at 59. Now, tell me if I'm wrong here, Aaron, but TCU and Gary Patterson, their head coach, who is defensive-minded, have been preparing for this game all offseason long. They had two games earlier in the season. They took care of business in both of them. They have been planning and scheming for this moment. And, oh yeah, Urban Meyer not on the sideline. This is his last quote-unquote suspension game, even though he's there today helping the Buckeyes prepare. He just won't be there on game day.
Listen, this is a very good TCU team, don't get me wrong, but Ohio State, just like Alabama, just like Georgia, just like Clemson, they're on a different level than everyone else. And right now, I wasn't sure, could they win? Obviously, I knew they're going to win their first two games, but could they be close? Are we going to see this team struggle without Urban Meyer? I know he's at practice, but his ability to be on the sideline during these games. And Coach Day's done a heck of a job. This team's shown that they can be disciplined. They can execute the football, both offensively and defensively. And then Dwayne Haskins has been an absolute animal as a quarterback. Monster. And we know he could. He's big. He's strong. There's a plethora of talent all around him, from receivers to running backs. And Ohio State always has a top-notch defense. So I think they're a better football team. They're deeper. And they've been preparing for this game, too. I think neither team has really had any kind of challenge these first 2 weeks. Rutgers and Oregon State for Ohio State, and then SMU and Southern for TCU. When you look at your schedule, like, all right, we're going to roll these first 2 weeks. Our backups are going to get a lot of PT. When's our first big challenge? So Ohio State's kind of, I think, the same mentality, as you said, that TCU was, of we're circling that week 3 versus Ohio State. They're both going to be ready. It's national TV. But like I said, Ohio State, they're just a better football team. I think Dwayne Haskins is a legitimate Heisman contender.
Oh, there's no doubt.
The way he's played so far, and I think he's going to continue to do that throughout the season.
All right, tell me this, though. Urban Meyer not on the sideline. It doesn't sound like you think this game will be close in the fourth quarter, but we mentioned it when the suspension came down. Obviously, it has not happened yet, this situation or scenario. But if it's close late in the fourth quarter and situational football will be the deciding factor of the game, will the Buckeyes really miss Urban Meyer? I mean, I know their interim head coach hasn't had any problems yet. I mean, they've been putting up 60-plus points a game, just blowing out their opponents. But I would be shocked if this one at least does not go into the second half, maybe into the fourth quarter, and you've got to be scratching your head sitting there going, Urban Meyer is one of the better situational football coaches in the country. If he's not there, you got to give the leg up to TCU, right?
No. Listen, Urban Meyer, I'm sure, has been through every situation with Coach Day and said, hey, listen, these are my thoughts. He's not going to just send him out there without any head coaching experience and said, good luck. Don't screw it up. I'll see you week four. They're going over these situations. Like he said, he's been there for the past 2 weeks in practice. I'm sure Coach Urban Meyer has watched these first two games and has said, hey, this is what I would have done differently based on this situation throughout these two games. So he'll be fine. I'm not worried about it. A lot of it's common sense too, of when to call a timeout, when to go for it, whether it's fourth down or to go for a touchdown. So he'll be fine. And like I said, it makes life easy when you have a bunch of All-Americans and a Heisman contending quarterback back there calling the shots too.
All right. So speaking of Dwayne Haskins, the Heisman contending quarterback, if you're TCU and Gary Patterson, who is a defensive minded head coach and he's been with the Horned Frogs for a very long time, how do you stop an offense like Ohio State? I mean, not only do they have Dwayne Haskins, they can run the ball, they can get it out in the perimeter to some speed guys, but even if for whatever reason Dwayne Haskins isn't playing, I mean, Tate Martell's been in there as well, just putting up huge numbers. How do you stop that offense? Do you pressure them? They've got a big, strong offensive line. I mean, it just doesn't seem like there's a possibility for TCU to make an impact to stop Ohio State from scoring at will.
You know what you do? One, you get the crowd involved early, so you get the crowd noise going, and then you have to play well offensively. I mean, Sean Robinson, who's been dominant so far too for TCU, he needs to control the time of possession. For that sure. Offense for TCU needs to stay on the football field and then force Ohio State to press, force Ohio State to feel like we need to make big play after big play after big play in order to stay in this game. And then that's when you start getting the mistakes. And then you have to capitalize. When you have an opportunity to get a fumble, when you have an opportunity to get an interception, you need to get those. And if you can keep this crowd involved during the game, and we saw it last week versus Clemson, we saw it versus Texas A&M, when that crowd was excited, when they were energized, they kept it a close
game.
It
made a difference.
It makes a difference. And if TCU can keep things close, like I said, play well offensively, I think that's how you can – pressure Ohio State offensively to go out there and make a mistake and not do what we've seen them do these first 2 weeks.
All right, you're talking about Sean Robinson at TCU. You're talking about Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State, which leads me to ask you this next question because you have a valuable piece of information that we will provide our listeners every single week right here on Punt and Pass. As you know, we are officially partnered with the Davey O'Brien Award, the National Quarterback of the Week. We are helping them decide who the quarterback of the year will be, and who better than our own Aaron Murray, SEC all-time leading passer in career yards and touchdowns, to tell us who the quarterback of the week is or was for week two. Any chance it was one of those two guys? Who is the Davey O'Brien quarterback of the week for week two?
The quarterback of the week is Kyler Murray, actually, from Oklahoma. Okay. And he has been El Fuego these past couple weeks, really not only just throwing the football, but running the football. So last week he was 19-36, 306 yards, 3 touchdowns, then another 69 yards on the ground.
Nice.
With 2 touchdowns. The big issue with Mr. Murray going forward, though, he's losing Rodney Anderson. So can he continue to put these stats up? I mean, he's on everyone's top 5 for Heisman right now. He's been electric. Obviously, if you have a quarterback that can not only throw the football but can run the ball as well, that brings a lot of excitement, and that's going to put you – and an opportunity to win a lot of awards throughout the season. But now it's going to be more on his shoulders. You know, Rodney Anderson, we saw it last year in the Rose Bowl. We've seen it at the beginning of this season. Is a special running back. He's a game changer. Now he's out, and then more pressure is going to be put on Kyler Murray going forward. We'll see if he's ready to handle the bigger load.
Kyler Murray living up to that Murray surname. For sure, but you keep putting up stat lines like that. I mean, Jesus, the dude was phenomenal week one. Again, phenomenal week two. Congratulations. He is your Davey O'Brien quarterback of the week. And if you have a quarterback that can't get a first down, you got to send the punter out. That's what I'm here for. I am about to tell you who the week two Ray Guy Award punter of the week is, and it's University of Louisville punter Mason King. Last week, Mason King, in a win over Indiana State, averaged 46.5 yards per punt on 6 punts and pinned Indiana State inside their own 20-yard line 3 times. He set his career best mark, Aaron, with a 64-yard punt in the second quarter. Those are game changers. That's when Indiana State had to start their own drive at the 15. 18-yard line. So big congrats to Mason King. Look, you kicked the ball over 60-plus yards a couple of times, pin him inside the 23 times. You're going to put yourself in a good position, not only to have a great week, but to help your team win and maybe get a recognition like the Ray Guy Punter of the Week. So congrats to University of Louisville punter Mason King. I think as we get deeper into the season, Aaron, you're going to see punters really make a difference on the outcomes of some games. So congratulations, Mason. Check back next week. We'll tell you who the top eight players, punters, and quarterbacks are for week 3. All right, Aaron, did you tell me who you liked in that Ohio State game? Ohio State minus 13, over under 59.
I'm going with the over on this one.
Okay.
And I'll take Ohio State with the points too. I think they, like I said, Dwayne Haskins with the talent around him, I don't think Ohio State's going to have a hiccup at all right now.
Yeah, they're one of my teams. Ohio State's a bye team for me right now. I will bet them until they don't cover it. It seems like that ain't not happening anytime soon. Ain't not double negative. But I'm with Ohio State here too and the over. So thanks, Aaron. You and I are in agreeance right now. Agreement. I don't think agreeance is a word. All right, let's go over these next couple games really quickly. I want to touch on Alabama heading to Ole Miss. This game's on ESPN at 7 p.m. Number one ranked Alabama is a 21-point favorite. The over-under in this game, 71 points. Any chance this game
take
is close?
Take the over. Take the over. I'm saying right now, put it down, Drew.
That's your guarantee.
Mark it down as my Aaron's hot take guarantee of the week.
All
this
right.
game is going to go over 71 points. I'm excited, man. I the more I watch Jordan Tamu for Ole Miss, the more I'm like, man, this kid is – he's an NFL-type quarterback. He's big. He's strong. He's accurate. He knows where he's going with the football. Obviously, it helps when you have plenty of great receivers around you, like A.J. Brown, who's an absolute stud. Listen, we're going to find out a lot about Alabama's defense this week. I mean, can they match up against three or four really good receivers? This isn't we need to stop A.J. Brown. I mean, there is plenty of receivers from the Z to the X to the slot to the running game's been very been on fire for Ole Miss as well. And then Jordan Tamu,
they just score
at
will.
I can't talk enough about this kid. His ability to put the ball where he wants to put it, whether it's out routes, post routes, go balls. It's been a very fun offense to watch, so I'm excited to see this game. I do think that you flip it on the other side, Alabama, you can't stop their offense.
It's like a video Ole Miss game right now.
Ole Miss's defense is no Alabama defense. They're no LSU defense. Alabama should pretty much do what they want and score at will as well. So that's what I'm saying. This should be a high-scoring game, a lot of fireworks, a lot of fun to watch. But Alabama should – they're just – obviously, they're better coach Nick Saban, especially defensively. They'll make the adjustments in the second half, get things figured out, and then find a way to get a couple stops towards the end of the game.
Ole Miss gave up 41 points last week to Southern Illinois. They did score 76, however.
Yeah, they did stop Texas Tech, which is a pretty good offense.
That is
very true. Only 27. And you know – when you play smaller schools, sometimes you're not completely focused. You're not playing your best game. You're just kind of cruising, saying, hey, we know our offense is going to score 70. Let's not try to kill ourselves out here defensively. So I would look more at that Texas Tech game and the fact that they held that offense, which is known to be, you know, or have the ability to score 40-plus points a game as well, held them to only 27. So I think they'll step up a notch against this Alabama offense, but still – I don't know if they have enough meat up front to be able to stop Alabama's
run
game.
Here's a DB prop bet for you. Alabama scores 60-plus points, yes or no?
No.
Really?
50-plus, though.
Okay, so you're going Alabama 50-plus, and obviously you think Ole Miss will score 20-plus. So do you think this game's close? Is it within three touchdowns or no?
I don't know if Alabama's going to have the ball that much. I mean, I think Ole Miss can eat up some clock. They can move the ball themselves. If you're going to score 60-plus points, you need to be just killing time of possession. I'm talking about 35-plus minutes of time of possession in order to get 60-plus. So that's the only reason why I say they're not going to be able to do
so
that.
So do you like Bama with a 3-touchdown favorite here, or are you taking Ole Miss?
So it's a 20-point favorite 21. Or 21? I got Ole Miss.
All right. We're off on that one. I take Bama minus the 21. I think Bama rolls in this game. I don't think Ole Miss will be able to score as much as they have been. Let's keep in mind, I know this is a different team. Alabama won this game last year 66-3. So they know how to slow this offense down, and I know Ole Miss has so many weapons on the offensive side of the ball, but this game means a lot to Alabama. I mean, keep in mind, Chad Kelly beat them a couple years ago. I don't think Nick Saban's going to let these guys forget that. I think Alabama covers the 21. I think they score a ton of points, and I'm on the over. So take Alabama. They're one of my bye teams as well, Aaron. Them, Ohio State, and the next team that we're going to talk about, the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia's hosting Middle Tennessee State at 7:15 on SEC Network. The Dogs are a 33.5-point favorite. The over-under is 54.5. And I just want to give you this one statistic here. I know this is not an in-conference SEC game for the Dogs, but they did absolutely handle business on the road just a week ago against South Carolina. This stat comes from Andrew Hall at Dude You Crazy on Twitter. He's a great follow for any Dog fans that don't already follow him at Dude You Crazy. Georgia has scored, Aaron, at least 41 points in its most recent game against every team in the SEC East. The average score of Georgia against their SEC East opponents right now, as it stands, Aaron, 44-13.5. They beat South Carolina 41-17. They beat Kentucky 42-13. They beat Florida 42-7. They beat Mizzou 53-28. They beat Vandy 45-14. And they beat Tennessee 41-0. That is absolute domination. That is kicking total ass against your opponents that will decide whether you get into your conference championship game or not. And it's a changing of the guard, Aaron. Just as I told you last week before the South Carolina game, this is a different football team. And look, you can tell from the top down that when these smaller schools like a Middle Tennessee State come into Athens, you're not messing around. This will be done by the second quarter. Georgia will roll once again. They're going to get a bunch of young speed guys in the game late. And Justin Fields will get a ton of playing time as well. There's not much to break down here. I mostly just wanted to tell you that crazy statistic. Georgia's average score against its SEC East opponents right now is 44-13.5. Georgia is a dominant team right now. They are a top three team in the nation. They will cover 33.5 points, and they'll probably score 55 points on their own. So take the over. Do you have anything to add, or did I just dominate
that
segment?
You just crushed that. I mean, you have to take into consideration a little bit the weather. I mean, if it is raining, if the hurricane at all, these outer bands get to Athens during that 7 o'clock kickoff, then you have to worry about, can this thing get sloppy? Are there going to be fumbles? Are there going to be interceptions? So that's going to be in the consideration for the over-under of how much Georgia's going to win this. I mean, there's no question Georgia's going to win. If they want to line up, if it's pouring and just run the ball 70 times that game, they're going to line up and run the ball 70 times. I'm hoping the rain holds off because I want to see, just like everyone else, Fields have an opportunity to go in there and play three quarters, have him play a half. I think Jake Fromm's shown that he's currently in midseason form. There's no questions that he doesn't need the reps at the moment. He's in complete control in the pass game, in the run game, making the necessary checks to put the offense in the right position. So let's see Fields. I'm excited to see him play a little bit more, see what he can do. He's got some games under his belt now. He understands the difference between high school football and college football.
No doubt.
And playing in front of a big crowd. So that's, I think that it should be pretty packed because everyone wants to see the future. But yet, like I said, for betting purposes, I may hold off on this bet until actually closer to kickoff and see what the weather looks like.
All right. Sounds good.
I'll take for the purpose of you and me, I'll take the over.
Okay, good. And you lay in the points too. You think Georgia covers 33.5?
Yeah, okay. I'll take Georgia. I'll take the over the points, and I'll take Georgia covering as well.
Awesome. I was going
to
add,
even if it gets sloppy, Middle Tennessee is not going to be able to score.
No, not at all. Not against Georgia's defense. And again, they're still answering some questions, but they just have so much depth that they can stay fresh and they can attack the quarterback. And then their secondary is shaping up to be very good, which I don't think a lot of people were expecting, especially at the safety positions. But Georgia's stout, man. Georgia's stout. And it seems like their next true test will definitely be that LSU game because Tennessee, no thanks. And, oh, let me just get this out before we get out of here, Aaron. I'm already seeing Vanderbilt is playing Notre Dame this weekend, and I am seeing this. I don't know how deep you get into, like, SEC Twitter or reading any college football website, but I'm already seeing it. Wow, Vanderbilt looking pretty strong through 2 weeks. Now, they have played two cupcake teams, but they've blown them out.
What happened? Hey, give me Alabama. Give us Alabama.
Thank
what
you.
Happened last year when
exactly.
everyone thought
Vanderbilt's Vanderbilt going to get smoked by Notre Dame this
weekend? I'm not going to say smoked.
They will.
Wimbush is not good. Wimbush is not good to move the ball up and down the field. They're going to win.
Underdog.
They're going to win, but they're not going to blow Vandy out of the water.
I will never, ever buy Vanderbilt football. And let me just tell you this right now. It happened a year ago. It's probably going to happen again. And one of my hottest takes last year was that Vanderbilt was the most upsetting story in the SEC because after 2 weeks, they were calling out Alabama and they didn't win a game for like 9 weeks in a row. Vanderbilt stinks out loud. They're awful. And I guarantee you that if they somehow do get past Notre Dame, all Georgia fans are going to have to put up with that. Oh, Vanderbilt's going to come to Athens, and they're going to be playing spoiler. Give me a break. The Commodores are trash. They are the bottom barrel of the SEC, and they will lose big time this weekend to Notre Dame. Take it to the bank. Believe me when I say that. And, Aaron, I was going to ask you about this USC-Texas game. USC didn't even score a touchdown last week against Stanford. Texas lost big time to Maryland. I mean, I know these are two top brands in college football. I may not even watch this game. It doesn't interest me. Neither team is very good. And again, ESPN, ABC, the powers that be, I think this game's on Fox. They want you to believe that this game will be great, but let's put it this way. It's not.
No, it's not a good football team. I mean, Texas obviously lost to Maryland, and we all know with all the stuff going off the field with Maryland this offseason, and then played a close game last week versus Tulsa. Who actually I'm covering this week. So, not a bad football team, but a team that still won two games last year. And you expect Texas at home to dominate. Listen, if I'm going to watch this game, I'm going to watch for JT Daniels. I want to see this quarterback, very young freshman quarterback. Can he improve? I mean, he had a good first week. He went into Stanford last week and had a tough time on the road, which was expected against a very good Stanford team. Can he go back, make the corrections, and then play better this week? Is he mature enough to go back, self-evaluate, and then take that next step? Or is he going to sulk and not move forward from that loss last week? So that's why I'm watching, because I do think he's very talented, has a chance to be a really good quarterback for USC. But, man, it's crazy to have these two big brands, Texas and USC, just not dominant and not scary. I mean, this isn't Texas. I mean, Texas walks into your stadium and you're not scared at all. You're like, all right, Texas is here. That's fine.
Yeah,
we'll beat them. USC's here. Whatever. That's fine. That's to me, it's crazy because I guess I grew up, you know, early 2000s when those teams were just kicking everyone's butt.
Yeah,
and they were scared. I mean, that team would show up, and it was like Alabama or Georgia. I mean, and you were like, man, we're about to get toasted today. And that's not the case right now.
No, it's not the case. But if I could give JT Daniels one piece of advice, Aaron, and look, I've never played quarterback before, and I know the guy should still technically be in high school, but it's this. Score points. Y'all scored 3 points last week against Stanford. That ain't going to happen. You're not going to win if that happens at Texas. So maybe lead your offense into the red zone and put the ball into the end zone for six
True,
points.
But that's just you are a quarterback whisperer.
That's just
you
me. Are, and that's just,
hey,
you know, sorry.
Hey, young QB, put the ball in the end zone.
There you
know, whatever you do, make sure that little brown pigskin cross the big white line.
Hey, I mean, if you want to win football games, it's pretty simple. Just score more points than the other team. That is how you win football games. Anything on the way out, Murray?
No, just hoping I get back on Sunday. You know, there's a little Music Midtown going on. Maybe I'll catch a couple shows Sunday night if it's not absolutely pouring here in Atlanta. But other than that, should be another fun week.
All right, sounds good. Catch Murray Sunday night at Music Midtown. And check back with us Monday morning for Week 3 Roundup. Thanks for tuning in. We are at Punt and Pass. He is at Aaron Murray 11. I am at Drew Butler 13. We'll talk to you on Monday. See you.